All right. This is the Rebel Room. Rebel fans, here we go again. Another coaching change for the basketball program. TJ Otzelberger, as expected, heading back to Iowa State, where he was a longtime assistant, and UNLV heading back onto the job market. So they go from Kruger to Rice to Simon to
Cronin.
Cronin never had the job, though.
No, but he had a handshake deal. I include him in my story. I'm going to include him as, okay, like, they've had like five coaches in 6 years. Cronin, then Beard, then Menzies.
And TJO. And we're here today to kind of break it down and talk about the future of UNLV athletics. Mike, I'm going to go first. I don't know if this is a bad thing. I mean, TJ Otzelberger, probably a good basketball coach, but it just wasn't working here in Las Vegas. He was, 24 and 23 in 2 years, had a losing record this season, didn't excel in recruiting, even though he landed two good recruits in the last cycle, one of which, not to his fault, fell off. But when you factor in that UNLV is going to get $3 million in his buyout to kind of hit the reset button with its program, which arguably was going to have to do in a year or two, for me, I think this is a home run. Otzelberger, not an awful coach, didn't work out here. They likely were going to have to replace him anyways, arguably, and now they get $3 million to do it.
It's not an uncommon sentiment. I've seen that, you know, on Twitter and social media among the fan base. I've seen some local media sort of suggesting that this isn't the worst thing for UNLV. It's obviously a great thing for Otzelberger as well. Like, this is just a good time to get out. I was trying to think of an analogy. It would be like, from TJ's perspective, it would be like, I do think he's a good coach. I think he'll probably do well at Iowa State, but for some reason, things just did not, like, if you're you're a great Tetris player and you're great at Tetris and you're trying to set your personal best and you flub something right at the beginning. And it's like, you can keep playing that game and work your way out of it and, you know, still have a great game, but maybe you just hit the reset button after that first mistake and you start fresh. And I feel like that's kind of what both sides get a chance to do here. Like Otzelberger, you saw some good things, but the recruiting class that he just brought in kind of flopped. Jenkins, a lot of stuff just happened and it didn't get off to a great start. So it's like, it's good for him to leave. UNLV gets a chance to hit the reset and try something new.
Yeah. And I think that was the thing. It's that he came in here with great intentions, right? The knock on Marvin Menzies was he wasn't out in the community enough. Prominent coaches at Gorman and Coronado said, listen, we haven't seen Marvin as much as we should. He's not making inroads with any of the local recruits, and it's a problem. Then they get TJO, and right away he's in the gyms, and everybody thinks it's great. But then he just starts offering random kids, like Jalen Martinez, a 6'10" player, hits a three-pointer in AAU game, scholarship. You know, Donnie Yap, a long, athletic type of kid, looks good in the Northwest Division, scholarship. And, you know, backup point guard, Durango High, scholarship. And he overcompensated for Marvin, but basically took a roster that should be at the College of Southern Nevada. And none of those players worked out.
I think he did try to hit the local scene hard. And I think we talked on the last podcast, he had near misses on, you know, Julian Strother, you know, Monty Wilkinson, Jalen Hill. Like, there were local kids that they were finalists for. And if you get those guys, everything is great. They missed on those guys. So then it's like, hey, we have extra scholarships. Let's get local Donovan Yap. Let's get local Jalen Martinez. And so, like, yeah, they did. They missed on those guys. They didn't really contribute this year. They're probably going to leave in the offseason. The recruiting just didn't. They just weren't, it just wasn't in lockstep. There were just some things that weren't working out on that front.
Pile it on, because I know we want to talk about what's next, but you could even see on the floor during the game that the talent level just wasn't there. They were a step slower than teams in the Mountain West. They weren't long enough. They but they had flashes of good play. Like, you know, Caleb Grill hit a few threes. He looked good. You're like, boy, if we could get this all the time, or if he wasn't, as we've talked about before, counted on to be, you know, a major contributor, then okay, I think maybe you have something. Like, if he had like the role of like Justin Hawkins during the Kruger and Rice years, okay, maybe you got a chance. But it just didn't work out. And again, no matter what you think of Otlesberger and where the program's at, the truth of the matter is that right now, for the first time since I've been alive, and I'm 45, Michael, this program has the least amount of interest locally. Everybody loves the Golden Knights. Everybody wants to watch and go to the Golden Knight games. And there's no way to dispute that. It's not even the Raiders. Forget about the Raiders. It's exclusively the Golden Knights. And UNLV needs to do something to get people interested, because this basketball program drives the athletic department budget. And if they're going to lose money on football, which they're going to have to play at Allegiant, they need to get some butts in the seats at the Thomas and Mack Center. And the only way to do that is to start winning some games and start playing some exciting basketball. So they need to hit a home run here with the hire. You know, and let's be honest, they've, you know, the history of hitting a home run, as you've talked about, 5 and 6 isn't great.
Before we get into, I guess, you know, some of the candidates that maybe you're thinking about or that we've seen bandied about on social media and stuff like that, what do you think of Desiree Reed-Francois? Do you trust her to hit a home run? Like, what's your thoughts on her after seeing the Arroyo hire, the Otzelberger hire? Where do you stand? Like, do you think that this she could hit a home run with this hire?
I mean, I think that, yeah, I mean, and anything's possible. I mean, I'm not going to say that she can't not hit a home run. I think that, for me, UNLV is still a great brand, and there's a lot to offer there. It's just going to take finding the right person. And we know her hiring practices of going after the young 40-something coach who has had some success at a lower league and letting them come in and rock and roll. And, you know, I can't blame her for the Otlesberger thing. You know, for all intents and purposes, the guy is a good coach. We saw how they got, you know, at the end of year one, they end up, you know, upsetting San Diego State in San Diego. And they had a good run, and there was an injury. And that injury kind of stumped them a little bit. And then he just missed in recruiting. But to lose a guy to a Power 5 conference, which is considered home, I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, TJ Lossberger is an Iowa State Cyclone. And Desiree Reed-Francois needs to find someone who is a running rebel. I mean, it's that, for me, it's that cut and dry. I mean, I do think, though, that here she is now in what, year four of her tenure? Or year four, yeah, right, year four. I think that, you know, there's some pressure on this hire, because if this hire doesn't work out, and, you know, football, they went 0-6, but, you know, COVID and all the players that they lost, you know, maybe Aurora gets a little bit of a pass now. But I think if football sucks again and she can't bring in a good basketball coach, then all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, now we got some problems.
She should be prepared for this coaching search, because when Otzelberger was hired, I don't think there was anyone expecting him to be a long-term, like, this guy's going to be in Las Vegas for the long haul. It was like a stepping stone job for him. It was perceived that way. Like, it's a guy who has deep, deep Midwestern roots. He's from Wisconsin, Iowa State, Wisconsin, Iowa State. Like, that's where he, South Dakota State. He's like a Midwestern, upper Midwest guy. So it's like he was never long for UNLV. So you figured, you know, if he comes in and wins, you know, you'll have him for 3, maybe 4 years, and then he'll get poached by someone. It happened a little sooner than you expected. And it happened after the kind of season you didn't expect. But I'm sure Desiree Francois has, you know, some names in mind or people that she's been keeping track of, or it's been percolating in the back of her mind that, like, at some point I'm probably going to have to replace him. So she should be somewhat prepared for this search. That being said, I don't think it's going to be quick. I think it's going to be a long, hire a search firm, vet the candidates, do a round of interview, that type of search. It's probably going to last a month. It's not going to be like Iowa State, which, you know, opened and slammed the door shut in 24 hours and got it done. But she should be prepared for this because it shouldn't, the circumstances may be a surprise, but the end result is not a surprise. He was never long for Las Vegas.
Which is awful because you got to get out there and you got to start recruiting. You know, there's players in the transfer portal with 3 years of eligibility that could come in and make an impact right away. And, you know, you got to have all your ducks in a row. I would say that when you go to hire a coach, I'm a big longevity guy, right? I've been here for quite some time in my job. I don't like the fact that you said that they hired him knowing he was only going to be there a few years. And I know for a fact the football coach thought he was only going to be here for a few years. I want someone who is going to roll up their sleeves, get that second contract, and not someone who's renting a house in Summerlin that's going to be leaving eventually, you know. And I know that a lot of the fans, Michael, say, oh, well, you know, Ray is stuck in the past, right? He lived through the glory years. You know, Jerry Tarkanian was there for 19 years. Jerry Tarkanian would be a part of the community, blah, blah, blah. And we're just not there. UNLV's not what it used to be. And I'm like, come on, bro. We're talking great city, right? Not only a great city in the world in Las Vegas, a great basketball city, right? Conference tournaments here, NBA Summer League, AAU high school, great high school basketball. The freaking national high school basketball player of the year was a Las Vegas player, and Las Vegas didn't even have a season. That's how good the basketball is here. You know, you've got a world-class training facility in Cox. You've got the Thomas and Mack Center. To me, this is such a sexy job, Michael.
Then
don't disagree.
No, I'm not disagreeing, okay. But my natural question to that case that you just laid out for Las Vegas and why UNLV is such an attractive job is, why have the last four coaches not been able to take advantage of it? Like, if it must not be easy, if Dave Rice, Marvin Menzies, TJ Otzelberger, if those guys haven't been able to take advantage of all those natural advantages, then it can't be easy. Like, it must be hard, or there's something we're not seeing about this job.
I would say, give me the coaches you said, the last three or four coaches. I would say Dave Rice was 90-54. Had the first pick in the NBA, recruited at a high level, beat the number one ranked team in the nation. The year he got fired, they beat Oregon, a top 10 team on the strip, first game on the strip.
He came the closest.
Struggled, though, getting his players on the same page. Right. And listen, Steven Zimmerman boxes out against Fresno State in that first game of the Mountain West. They get the rebound and they win the game, and they're 1-0 in the league that year. They split that road trip. They're 3-1. He still has the job, but they didn't want him to win. That's another argument. Marvin Menzies was our 18th pick, Mike. Literally, if he didn't want the job, I might have gotten it. Honest to God, nobody wanted the job because the administration screwed it up. Not, you know, the past administration screwed it up. Marvin said, you know what, I'll take the job. Came in April, had the worst team. Mike, the team that took the floor against Duke at T-Mobile was the worst team in the history of UNLV basketball.
Sure.
Marvin wrote it out, flipped over the roster, won 20 games, Michael, the year he got fired, correct?
He had a decent year, like a middle of the pack year. I don't know the exact record.
Third in the Mountain West, 20 wins. in year three, after year one being said, hey, dude, we're not going to hold this against you. But he got fired because he wasn't out in the community. Desiree took TJ. You remember that summer TJ got here? He was on a bus. He was over at PT's on Wednesday, Buffalo Wild Wings on Thursday. And on Friday, he was throwing out the first pitch at Henderson Little League. She had him everywhere to compensate for that.
Marvin was starting to recruit a little bit. He was starting to recruit a little bit. His biggest issue, I think, was just like the overall, the approach with scheduling and the fan, like it, there was just no excitement at all. Like I've never seen, the program was as dead as it's ever been, you know, inside the MAC, outside engagement, like people just did not care about those teams. TJ Otzelberger kind of picked up on that. I think fans were more engaged, more into it than they were under Menzies. But yeah, I do think Rice came the closest. He had the ideal vision for what UNLV should be, which is, you know, recruit at the top level, schedule a national, you know, schedule national teams, get blue bloods in here, play big, exciting games. But he just couldn't win in the Mountain West. Like he just is, you know, 8-10 in the Mountain West. So that wasn't good enough for some people. So I don't know, given everything that you've laid out now, what works with the other coaches, what hasn't worked, what you want to see in the future coaches, is there anyone like that comes to mind that you want them to look at? Like who would be the guy that jumps to your mind?
Well, I mean, for me, it's a like I told you yesterday, it's a family thing. You know, let's get somebody in here who understands the history and tradition of UNLV basketball, and who wants to preserve that, who has a vested interest in seeing the university do well. And for me, there's two people that come to mind. I would think you'd be crazy to let Kevin Kruger go. He's smart, well-respected, the last name carries value, has experienced success. He's a rebel thick and through, and he fits all the buckets that Desiree has, right? Young guy. And I think the one thing with Kevin is I think he's probably a darn good recruiter. And I know this because I watched him come in here every day and take Jay Hill to Oklahoma. And I just, you know, and I know she's not going to want to go back to an interim coach, but you see what Todd Simon did at SUU, 20-3. Guys recruiting up in Cedar. He's a rebel thick and through. He's got great ties to the area. Cliff Finley loves him. To me, he deserves a look as well. I don't know if I know that there's a theory out there that if Kevin gets the job, somehow Lon retires here and you got the Kruger family holding it up. But I tell you what, the one thing that Lon did successfully here, Mike, was he promoted the hell out of himself. And he went outside UNLV to promote themselves. Without Lon here, when Marvin and TJ are here, there's some days, I hate to say this, I don't even know they're playing. I literally do not know they're playing. And it's my job to know that they're playing. So think about that. How bad is your marketing if you can't get anybody to go to the games because nobody even knows you're playing? You know, so I just think that it goes back to that $3 million. You got to take that $3 million and you got to invest it in the program. You know, don't invest it in the women's tennis program. And I know Mark Wallington's going to hate me for that comment. But don't invest it in basketball, you know, enhance the recruiting budget, promote the hell out of the team. You know, I want to know who Bryce Hamilton is. I want to love Bryce Hamilton, right? I want to have Bryce Hamilton to my house for dinner. When he makes a shot, I want it to feel like my son hit a home run in a baseball game. That's how I want to be with the team. Not, you know, oh, the season's over again. I'm getting so fired up here, Michael, I'm coughing.
It's So Kevin Kruger, Todd Simon, those are your guys.
Those are my leaders in the clubhouse, 1A and 1B. And I'll tell you something that a lot of people are going to disagree with. If Rick Pitino is the next coach of UNLV basketball, I will not go to a game or watch them again.
Were you? I can't remember. Were you anti-Pitino the first time around?
I'm anti-Pitino.
I think you were.
The guy, come on. I mean,
yeah.
Let's have a little moral standards here. You know what I'm saying?
He's not for everyone.
He's not. Now, I've talked to a lot of people in the AAU circles who I respect and who I think respect me, or at least pretend to, and they say it doesn't matter. His past doesn't matter. That kids want to play for a winner. He's a winner and he could coach. And there's got to be somebody else out there.
He's a guaranteed NCAA tournament every year kind of coach. There's not many guys like that who are available to UNLV where you know if you hire him.
Okay, let me ask you this. This might be apples and oranges, bro, but Zion Collins gets off this DUI thing. Right? Killed somebody, Michael. Dead.
Yep.
Dead.
Man is dead. Yes.
Yep. A U.S. veteran. Dead.
A man of this community. Las Vegas. Like a member of the community.
Are you okay if Zion Collins plays for UNLV basketball? Not convicted. Gets a speeding ticket, reckless driving, whatever it gets down to. He's out of prison. He's eligible to continue his life.
You think Pitino would take him?
No, I'm asking you. Does that violate your personal moral standards? Forget who
that is.
You, Michael Grimala. You got to ask yourself, like, where's our moral line? How much do we want to win a basketball game? Everybody gets a second chance. How many freaking chances has Pitino had?
Yeah, everywhere. He lives everywhere.
I'd be so okay with Zion Collins being the point guard of the basketball team than Rick Pitino as the coach.
Okay, so if you take him out, who else? Like,
first of all, how much are you going to pay that guy, and how old is he?
His buyout is reportedly $10 million at Iona.
It's not going to happen. Michael, they got less money than you and me.
I know that. Okay, let's go to this next one. Who I think I bring him up because you'll probably have some thoughts, and I know that the fans, if we don't mention him, will get it beyond. They'll be commenting, what about him? What about him? So Stacey Ogden, currently a player development assistant with the Sacramento Kings. Like Todd Simon, he was part of that Dave Rice assistant staff. He fills the role, the requirement that you have of someone with a vested interest in the program, probably wouldn't leave for another job, you know, even if he does well and turns the program around and he does the Juwan Howard thing and you're like in the top 10 and you're great, he's probably going to stick around. What do you think of him? Could he do that, though? Like, what do you think of Ogden?
I mean, there's no disputing his status at UNLV. His numbers up high at the MAC, and there's no disputing his love for UNLV. I've always viewed Stacey as a behind-the-scenes type of guy, just because he's so quiet. You know what I'm saying?
He did not want to be out front or any – when he was an assistant, he denied pretty much every interview request they put into him, did not want to speak. He never struck me as like a guy that wants to go to the table after every game to do the post-game press conference and do that thing. But, you know, maybe he's – if he wants to be a head coach, maybe he's ready for that. But continue.
So I mean, I think in terms of X's and O's, I think he could do it with no problem. In terms of recruiting, why not? You don't think so? He brought in Christian Wood. That was his guy.
He probably – it's different as a head coach. Like, he could probably delegate a lot of that to assistants and then be, like, the closer or something. He could make it work. I thought that, what I know, which is not everything – but from what I, was able to glean during that time, I felt like Simon and Miller were the ones, doing the most of the heavy lifting on recruiting under Dave Rice. But Ogden wasn't.
I thought Simon is a great choice. I think he's a great choice. You know, what would that do? I mean, here's my deal is where does the Kruger family come into play? Because I love, I want everything to do with that family, Mike. You know, do you hire Todd and keep Kevin as an assistant and give Kevin more time to develop? Because Kevin's only been doing it for 4 or 5 years. I don't know. Go on with some other names, because I know you got some other names that I'm gonna be upset with. But go ahead.
Let me look through my list here. What about Archie Miller?
No.
Who just got fired at Indiana, nope. So no buyout. But when he was at Dayton, he had them. They, you know, the best mid-major program in the country, so he can win at the mid-major level.
Do you worry that Archie Miller, and I hate to put guilt by association, but do you worry that Archie Miller gets you in trouble with the NCAA? Because remember, UNLV is always on that cliff, brother.
I know that. I don't think that just because, you know, whatever Arizona is involved in, I don't know if that.
Apple don't fall from the tree.
It's different. Like I wouldn't immediately convict him just because someone he's related to also got into trouble across at some job across the country. But like I said, with Pitino, like he's probably the closest in terms of you are almost guaranteed with Pitino, you're guaranteed to be good, guaranteed NCAAs, guaranteed top 25. Eventually Archie Miller, it's not a guarantee, but it's pretty close that, you know, he made the NCAAs his last 4 years at Dayton. Like I said, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, it's almost a guarantee that you are going to be good. You'll contend for the Mountain West. There's some geographical questions. He's never really been a West Coast guy, but, and he probably would leave for a bigger job.
Before we start throwing out all these names, Mike,
throw me another name.
Okay. I want to buy a house, Michael. Okay. And I'd love to live in Anthem Country Club, gated community, great neighbors, you know, great properties, great design. I can't afford to live there. I got to live in all the way out here in Old Henderson with you. We're like neighbors.
Yeah.
You don't want to live in that house. It's nice. You want to
live recording this. We just opened our windows and we're just shouting across the street at each other to record this podcast.
Yeah. So all I'm trying to say is that you're throwing out Pitino. Oh, but yeah, by the way, there's a $10 million buyout. Oh, no big deal. Just Desiree, go get that checkbook. $10 million, I own it. No problem. That's fine. The $3 million will compensate it. They'll find the $7 million somewhere else, you know, when the 1,400 people show up at Allegiant Stadium, you know. I mean, Pitino, why are we even wasting our breath? They can't afford the guy. And he's not going to stay here. If he does good and gets UNLV to one tournament, then all of a sudden some other school says, oh, I'm going to take Rick Pitino. And we're back to square one.
So what do you think of – so how does that apply to Archie Miller?
Is he going from Indiana to here?
I don't know. I don't know what his other suitors would be. I don't think another power conference team, you know, a blue blood is going to jump on him after what he did at Indiana, which is, you know, a bad job in his years. Not a single NCAA tournament.
Also ask yourself, Mike, who in the hell wants to go to Laramie and Fresno to play games? I mean, there's
a coach who wants to work. A coach who wants to work for $2 million, $2.5 million, like whatever UNLV ends up
paying. How much was TJ making a year?
He started at 1.1 last year, 1.2 this year, 1.3 next year, and then so on and so on for 5 years. So
we're
going to
double it for Archie Miller, who ran out of Indiana.
That's what the buyout is for. You take that and you take whatever operating budget you have that you were going to pay TJ, you add the buyout to it, and you've got a little bit more to spend.
You drive a Chevy, Michael.
Not even. I don't want to say what I drive, but it is.
Okay, I've been in your car, whatever kind of car you got.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Why all of a sudden would you upgrade to a Lexus when you got so many other problems you're working with? Like, UNLV doesn't need a Lexus. They need a solid freaking Camry that's going to be on the road for 8 years to get them from point A to point B. Okay, you bring in Rick Pitino or whoever or Archie Miller, a used Lexus, if you will. Those guys just aren't doing it for me.
What if I told you you could, what if I told you Archie Miller would stay for 5 years? Would that be good enough to?
5 years, and what are we going to do in 5 years?
You probably make at least, you probably make two NCAA tournaments, maybe three or four.
Todd Simon will stay 10 years and make eight tournaments.
You think Todd Simon would make eight out of 10 NCAA tournaments if they hired him? Then they should hire him tomorrow. Like that's a slam dunk.
The guy went 20-3 at SUU. SUU had a winning season in your lifetime. And he got guys over there that could play. And those road trips are brutal. You got to drive to Vegas and take planes. I don't know. 8 out of 10 is an exaggeration. But is there much of a difference between Archie Miller and Todd Simon?
Just the NCAA credentials, because Archie Miller, like I said, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, that is really hard to do at Dayton. And, you know, Todd Simon is not – for all Todd Simon's done at Southern Utah, nice job. Way to go, Todd Simon. Great thing to put on your resume for your first head coaching gig. That's a long way from going to the Elite Eight, which Archie Miller has done.
Montana State in the league tournament when they were up by 10. I see what you're saying with Archie Miller is that to get to the second weekend of the tournament, it's virtually impossible, you know. And you've seen it with UNLV. They've been once in the last 30 years to the second weekend of the tournament.
He did it back-to-back at Dayton. Imagine if UNLV, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, they go to the Elite Eight 1 year, Sweet 16 next year. Like, how crazy would you be going if they had that kind of success? You'd be over the moon.
Yeah, so I just think that, unfortunately, every time UNLV recycles coaches, Mike, they also have to start from grand zero. Like, look at the players on the roster. Who's going to be there next year? Marvin Coleman and Trey Herbert. Anybody else?
It's all up in the air.
Exactly.
But it was going to be that way with Otzelberg. Even if Otzelberg has stayed, they were still going to turn over almost the entire roster anyway. So it's like, if you get someone in here quick enough to hit that transfer portal and recruit some good players, you won't be that far. You don't have to be behind schedule. Like you could put together the same type of roster that Otzelberger would have put together for this coming season. If you get the hire in here, let me throw another name at you, kind of off the wall. How do you feel about Leon Rice from Boise State?
You brought him up like not only yesterday when we talked, but 2 years ago when we talked. You like Leon Rice, correct?
I do like Leon Rice. I like that he wins 20 games a year at Boise State, which is a program that does not put much into their basketball team. It's a football school. Basketball comes second. They don't spend a lot of money. He doesn't make a lot of money. He makes, like, I read up on his contract situation. From what I can tell, he makes $700,000 a year. His buyout is, you know, $200,000 and something. You could pretty much double his salary, pay his buyout easily, not even have to dip into that Otzelberger buyout. And then you can give him, you say, hey, you were good at Boise State. Maybe you can be great at UNLV now that you can actually recruit at a higher level, have better facilities. Everything is better. You've got more money to spend. Maybe you can be even better. And I know it's weird and it's probably rare to see coaches switch schools and stay in the same conference. But UNLV, like I said, could easily double his salary, give him a bigger budget, and see what he can do. And your baseline, worst case scenario, is your Boise State, where you're 20 wins every year, you're fighting for the top spot in the conference in February and March, and you're at least in the running.
So, Mike, the listeners can't see your face right now, but you've got this huge grin when you talk about Leon Rice.
Yeah, I actually think he's kind of maybe overrated as a coach. I think he was, I've explained this before, he was sort of an early adopter to that pace and space, like spread the floor, big man that can shoot, get out of the lane, shoot threes. He was one of the first people to start doing that full time. And I think that gave him a head start on the rest of the Mountain West. And that's why he was able to win with lesser players for so long. So I do like that. And now you're seeing with the last couple of years, he's starting to bring in like some four-star transfers, five-star transfers. Now they've got some talent there. Derek Alston's probably going to the NBA. So you're seeing him also now being able to recruit a little bit. So I do think that like.
And see, that's my big thing. Maybe. Like, do you want a coach who's going to bring in like Anthony Marshall, a player who's rated like 80 to 100 and develop him where the guy's going to be there for 4 years? Or do you want a coach who's out there going after top 50 guys that may either A, jump to the pros, or B, leave because they're not getting what they thought they'd get? Like, what kind of recruit do you want? Because I love Jimmy's and Joe's. I want to get as many top 40 guys that are 6'7" and long as we could get. I want to get off the bus and have somebody hit their head on the top of the bus that needs stitches before the game.
I can tell you that. Just my opinion, Leon Rice is the kind of coach where 3 years from now, Nick Blake, who's that kind of guy you're talking about, top 80, top 100, under Leon Rice, 3 years from now, Nick Blake is going to be playing at his utmost potential. Like, there's going to be no wasted potential left on the table. Leon Rice is going to get everything he can out of that kid and develop him. That's the kind of coach I think he is. And he could probably live at that top 75, top 100 level, bring in a handful of those guys, you know, in his recruiting class, and then you're off to the races. And you can, I would say that my confidence level is probably a 7, 7.5 that Leon Rice could win Mountain West championships at UNLV. Like, I think that would happen if you hired him.
What about Michael, the Utah State coach?
The difference, he's not on my list because he's a guy where he's
twice. Go ahead.
I'll explain why. Because Leon Rice has been at Boise State for 11 years. If UNLV would be enough of a jump for him, where you could probably expect him to be a long timer. Craig Smith is sort of like, he's doing so well at Utah State that it would be a lateral move. His next move is going to be to a Power Five conference. He's already getting mentioned, you know, for Minnesota, for Utah. Those schools have openings. He's already getting mentioned there. So it's like Craig Smith's next move is not going to be lateral staying in the Mountain West. It's going to be jumping up to one of these Power Five schools and making $3.5-4 million a year. Whereas Leon Rice is the kind of guy who you don't see him mentioned for these big time jobs as much. I feel like if UNLV says, hey, you want $1.5 million a year, 5 years, and the biggest operating budget in the league, come to Las Vegas. I think he might go for that. Maybe. If you gave him a sweet enough deal and you sweet talked him a little bit and talked his family into it, I don't know anything about that, but he seems gettable and it seems like he could stay here for a long time and you'd have that sort of continuity that you've never had.
Do you worry that I hate to spend all this breath on one guy, but
who's not going to happen.
Yeah. But he's been at Boise for so long. You know, if you're going to leave Boise, wouldn't you want to leave Boise to be the coach of like Texas or somewhere where you're going to go there, you're going to make $20 million over 4 years, you're going to fail, but who cares, because it's the last 4 years you're ever going to work.
I don't think I don't think that can happen for him at Boise State, or we would have already seen it. Like, there's just something about that basketball program that I just don't think they invest enough in it. He might have to take another job before a Power Five job. And for him, like I said, his salary is so relatively low. He's, you know, middle of the pack Mountain West money that, for him, from his perspective, UNLV might be like a big jump in terms of, it's not Power Five, but they can pay him a lot more than he's ever made. They can give him more money to spend than he's ever paid. They can give him chartered flights to all their road games, which they don't have at Boise. Like, they could offer him some stuff, but it's the question, like, it's tough to take a coach within conference. So, like, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he'll be a candidate. I'm just throwing him out there as, like, he's the type of coach you would want. What would you think about that? I do think he'd win here. You'd win Mountain West titles. And your upside, I don't know what the upside would be, but your baseline would be very good. So that's why
The thing is, no matter who they hire, they need to win Mountain West titles because they have the best situation, right? Brand recognition, money, facilities, city, university, right? You get a little French there.
No, they do. They
no city better than Las Vegas in the league. No better facilities than UNLV in the league. No name recognition players in the NBA than UNLV, right? The one thing UNLV doesn't have is $4 million a year to pay a guy who lives in the Midwest who can't recruit here. I go back to my Bobby Houck theory. Bobby Houck, good football coach. Bobby Houck, bad recruiter in Las Vegas because he recruited the same players to go to Montana, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. No, I hear you. If you're looking for, I don't know who the perfect coach would be. If you're just looking at the resume, I think Todd Simon, if you're looking for an up and comer, he's got the combination of recruiting history. He's a bona fide top recruiter. He'll get studs here. He's got the coaching chops, as we've seen in the Big Sky. Their record has gotten better in each of his five seasons. So he's coaching that program up. He's got UNLV ties where you might not have to worry about him jumping for the first job that comes along. He might be a long timer here.
If you see the name Todd Simon, if they hire Todd Simon, would you be okay? Would you think that's a good hire?
Yes. It's not going to fill the arena, but like that, I do think that would be a good solid hire. Who's going to
fill the arena, Michael?
Only Patino. And they're not going to hire him for obvious reasons. No one is going to fill the arena. Archie Miller is probably like the biggest name that they could get attached to that could come up. I don't expect that to happen. She's not Desiree Reed-Francois. What we've seen from her is she's not a big game hunter. She's not going to go after like big established names. She wants to find someone that she can elevate. And then if that coach blows up and is great, she gets credit for that. That helps her career. So Todd Simon sort of fits that mode. The question I would have for him is what's left over from his time as an assistant with Dave Rice? Like, did that go well? There was a lot of turmoil. He was the interim head coach. We heard like some people wanted Ogman. It ended up being Simon. How many people are left from that era? What do they remember about Todd Simon? Was it a good experience? Like, we know TJ Otzenberger and the Iowa State AD maintained a strong, friendly relationship while even when he was at other jobs. Has Todd Simon maintained those kind of relationships with people at UNLV? Pretty much almost the entire department has turned over. It's a new AD from then, new president. Like, I don't know who's left, but if he's got strong relationships with UNLV or something, that could help him. But if you're just looking at the candidates on paper, he looks like the best one to me.
Yeah. Who else is on your list for fun?
Simon, Kruger. We mentioned all the other ones, you know, Patino, Ogman, Mike Rhodes from VCU. That was a guy that they were interested in last time. I don't know if they extended an actual offer and tried to get him, but they sniffed around and they sort of reached out to him. His buyout is 1 million. He makes 1.5 at VCU. So you'd have to go probably like 3 million to get him.
Mike, it's tough. We're playing with Monopoly money, dude. I mean, yeah. Do you realize the athletic department is bleeding?
I do. So that's a guy who I'm going to put on the list whenever I put that story out.
I would say Kevin Kruger is your guy or Todd Simon.
I would agree. Those are the top two on my working draft of this. Hey, here's some candidates to watch story. They're the first two. Archie Miller's on there. Leon Rice is on there. Ogman, Mike Rhodes, Patino.
What about Grant Rice?
I don't think they can go back to that. Well, he's got the Tony Sanchez experiment. Desiree Reed-Francois put him into that experiment.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a shame because Grant's a UNLV grad, runs a successful high school program, is tied in locally, respected by all, a great human being and a great man, and has significant deep AAU ties.
Yes, he runs the AAU tournaments that come to Las Vegas. Like those big AAU tournaments, they take place at Gorman. And if you go to those AAU tournaments, which I, you know, did for 7 years in a row until they, you know, didn't have them this year, Grant Rice is there. He's running around. He's talking to everyone. He's like actually working those tournaments and he'll put them on.
He knows everybody.
Yes.
He's a nice human being and he's great. Gives Las Vegas. But again, you fired his brother. I don't know how excited he'd be to go through that when he's comfortable over at Gorman. But again,
he's the kind. I if you wanted to take it like a wild swing, like I could see that if Todd Simon or Kevin Kruger gets a job, like someone with UNLV local ties, I could see them reaching out to Grant Rice and being like, hey, would you like an assistant spot? And be like, you know, one of our, you know, ace recruiters, help us get some local talent, like work. Like I could see that maybe if he was interested in getting into college coaching. I don't, you know, better than I do. I don't know. He's probably, he may be just happy at Gorman and he loves what he's doing, but if he wanted, if he had aspirations to get into the college game, you know, that's how Todd Simon got started. He was the head coach at Findlay Prep. He had those same kind of AAU connections and recruiting. And he, Dave Rice brought him on as an assistant to help with recruiting. And now Todd Simon is, launched his career, and now he's a candidate for head coach at UNLV. So if Grant Rice wanted to sort of follow that kind of track, I could see that.
I think he's so far in at Gorman now. He's been there 20 plus years. You might as well hang on for the pension. Plus he's got kids in high school. I've enjoyed throwing out some names with you. Back to the drawing board for the UNLV basketball program. Michael, do you have anything else to add in this this podcast?
Just that I think they're going to do the coaching, the search firm. They're going to do the long process of finding candidates. It's going to end up being someone that we didn't mention on this podcast. It's going to be a young, up-and-coming coach. If I had to bet, I'd put my money on that. And it's going to be some, you know, the head coach at Colgate or some small school that
whoever
had a good year.
NCAA tournament on Friday, who pulls up an upset, whatever 13 seed wins on Friday, he'll have the job offer by Sunday.
Yeah. The timeline won't be that short. I wish it was, but this is going to drag on, I think.
You're losing. I mean, I think that they accelerated a little bit because Desiree knows you got to get some Jimmys and Joes. Michael, I don't know much about anything. Ask my wife. But I know to win in athletics, you need some players, right? Jerry Tarkanian was not a good coach, but he had some Jimmys and Joes.
You're going to get some comments about that.
No, Gergerich was the brains behind it. Come on.
I think that as much as we may want Desiree Reed-Francois to say, this is my guy, let's go get him, I just don't think that's how she operates. I think she operates by the manual, you know, the standard operating procedure says that you hire a firm, you do a search, you get the guy, and that's how you do it. I don't think she's going to deviate from that. And with the transfer portal being like so jammed up and so much movement expected, maybe it's not as fast moving as we think it'll be. Maybe, you know, if you wait till the beginning of April or April, you know, mid-April, maybe those transfers are still out there, you know, going through the recruiting process and you can still get some good guys. So it remains to be seen because we've never been in this kind of situation with college hoops before where there's projected to be so much movement, so many players eligible immediately. So we'll just have to see how it plays out. But I do think it's going to take a while.
You got it, brother. Appreciate you guys. Michael, have a great day. For Michael, I'm Raymond.